Good morning, New Life family. So good to see you today. We're asking for heaven to reign inside here on all of us and soak us with his presence. Good to see you, guests. Thank you for coming and joining with us. Everybody that's online, thank you for joining with us. You're adding strength to what God is doing. He needs us in the mix to finish what he started. Amen. He's also finishing something in us that he started, but he's after finishing what he's doing in the earth, and he will have a church and powerful sons and daughters to fulfill his plan. Have you ever heard the scripture text when it says obedience is better than sacrifice? You've heard that before? Have you read that? Now, that can be taken in a way that, oh my goodness, that's heavy. That's burdensome. Oh, it's not something I like hearing. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. But what if that passage really means something light and easy? What if it really, God's asking something from us that will benefit us and make it much more fun? Our topic today is finding hope. Finding hope. Everybody needs more hope. Amen. And the evidence of our faith, we need more faith. Well, let's break it down. We need more of Jesus, don't we? We just need him in our lives. And what he's asking from us is very minute in comparison to what he's given us in return. What he's asking from me, I can't even compare for what I get in return. The return is wow. Amen. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power. Amen. You're not going to talk your way into the miracles that you need in your life. You're not going to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week into your miracle. Pastor, be careful now. The Lord's looking for a relationship. He's looking for intimacy. As we talk around here, into me you see. He wants access to our lives so that he can help us because we can't fix ourselves. And the challenges that we have right now, the pain, the circumstances of life, the pushback, the anxiety, the stress, and the list goes on. You and I cannot fix that. Amen? He is resolved that long ago that he's the only source of hope. He's the only source of joy and peace. And there's a way that we step into this and we know something we can't explain. Right? Well, Pastor, help me here. Now keep in mind, the challenge is on today, and I'm going to read some scripture text, but I want to say some things to encourage you because without faith, you cannot please God. And most of the people that I talk to that say they believe in Jesus is having a challenge with faith. True? Amen. And some of you that are nervous and saying true, amen. We need more faith. And the Lord wants to give us waves of it. He just loves filling us up with faith. Amen. We know as Bible believers that it's written in Scripture that without vision, the people perish. Amen. That's the old King James language. But that vision means without revelation, you will get out of the way. You will depart from the way. If you don't have breath of God, amen, where you can say, I know this is the Lord. I can't tell you how, but I know it. It's when you have valid vision that now you have faith. You can quote the Bible. And please stop taking me wrong when I say that. But you can quote the Bible and not have an ounce of faith. The Because you can take that same thing you quote and go kill somebody with it. Amen. And not bring any hope to them, not even bring in any joy to their life. And then you make them feel worse than when you said it. Anybody ever heard the scripture when it felt like, oh my God, man, I thought the word of God was supposed to be life. We have a running joke around here because I come from a very conservative religious influence. And sometimes when I give what God's given me away, it sounds like, man, you just told me I was going to hell. And, you know, I don't want to go to hell neither. But the Lord doesn't save us from going to hell. This is important. Hurry up, Pastor. Tell me what he saves me from. It's not that he's saving us from anything. He's saving us so that he can be formed in us. Uh-oh, your spirit man went like, oh, that's, yes. We're saved so that he can be formed in us. That's his glory. The hell and the lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels. Wasn't created for nobody, no human being. It's interesting that human beings are going to choose to go there, though. That's like, really? Right? But the Lord never gives anything to us as breath, his spoken word, that equals death. Never. Every time he speaks, it brings life, hope. It brings peace. Ah. And so finding hope is what all of us are reaching for. And so when you catch vision, at New Life Fellowship, we have what we call vision statement, you know, purpose and mission. And those are solid statements about healthy relationships, Christ being formed in you, you being discipled into his image. That's powerful stuff. But if you don't have a revelation, you don't have any, you can quote the vision statement here, the mission and the purpose, and not have any life in you. If you don't get a revelation of the presence of God, amen, and host him so that he can pour into you life, that river of living water. Amen. It's just spring. When the presence of God comes to me, there's something that happens right in here. Ah, it's a pressure. And I can feel it. It is pushing. And if I will just yield, if I will just let God just come on in and take over instead of me trying to be in charge, all of a sudden, statements, sentences, prophetic utterances start coming out of me. Amen. And I can't tell you how he's going to do everything that I'm getting, but I know it. I'm having an intimate relationship. I got vision now. Is anybody tracking? Now, if I have that, what does that mean I have that pleases him? Faith. If I have vision, I now have perseverance and patience. I'm going to say, man, I need some patience, but I ain't going to pray for it. I'm scared of it. Because everybody I talk to that's honest, we all need more patience. Amen? Just say something politically. We'll find out. Say something the media said. We're going to just talk about the present culture we're in and just drive down the road. And, you know, you need more patience because people just don't know how to drive. Is this okay? And so when you get that vision from heaven, I'm not talking about walking by sight. I'm talking about, whew, man, God just, he just come up on me. He just revealed something to me. I can't explain it. Whew, but I like what I'm experiencing that's intimate with him. All of a sudden, the level of patience rises. Patience, perseverance, fortitude. All of a sudden, that bulldog, I'm not letting this go. You're almost like Jacob wrestling with God. You've decided, I ain't letting go till I get my blessing. Right? So finding hope is something all of us is after. Now, the prophet Habakkuk prophesies. God speaks to him and says, the vision, if it tarries, wait, just hold. If it feels like it's taking too long, I've been waiting for this. Hold. What I love about what God does is he gives us what we need to hold. The Lord's given me vision, and Tammy vision 30 years ago, and there's some things that hadn't happened yet, but I ain't letting go. I saw it in my spirit, in prayer, as I was praying. The utterances came out. The prophetic was on display. I know it was like fire coming out of me, and then confirmations from others that solidified a dogmatic, I don't like that word, but it works right now. I ain't letting go of it. There's some things it's just good to be dogmatic about, and that's intimacy from heaven. Amen. I'm not letting go. I'm holding on. It belongs to me. You promised it. Amen. And the Lord says, I like that. I like that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes obedience is just standing when you don't know what else to do, but stand, therefore. And I'm getting what belongs to me because you can't take what happened between me and heaven away. I know it. And I'm holding. And I'm going to hold. And while I'm holding on to that, it's amazing how many other things just start happening. Not that yet, but other things that confirm and validate and support and encourage and build me up and strengthen me. I'm talking to somebody here right now. Amen. The Lord gets that incense that he deserves when we decide to hold to the vision. Amen. And if you don't have vision today, I want to give you a few pointers today that will help you catch vision. Anybody want to catch a vision? You really need some hope today. You want to find hope. Amen. And so when vision happens, perseverance follows. Faith comes. And when you have faith, you know you have hope. Amen. Faith is the substance of things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Things that are not seen yet. And every one of us have some hopes for some things in our life and some relationship connections and, amen, things to be healed and set free. And all of us have that dynamic, but the Lord wants to give us something, amen, that will sustain the hope in our life. And you've plateaued, amen. Even though you're growing in the Lord and you're going to new places in God, you won't waver. You're steady. Your face is like flint. I know that I know that I know has got a hold of you. And you love hosting that faith. But you have vision. That's the key. There is a connection from heaven that brings with it an intimacy between you and Daddy that cannot be shaken. It sustains you. Amen. Finding hope. In John 10 and 8, Jesus says, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. We've been talking about the narrow gate here the last few weeks, right? Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. So how is the going in and out been for you lately? You don't have to answer the question right now. Just throwing that question into your spirit so that you can know that God wants us coming in and out. He wants His glory. He needs His body not paralyzed but working, not doing hard labor, but in fellowship with Him. He wants access to every body member, amen, of His body, because you're powerful. And He deserves our willingness to trust Him and obey. Matthew 3:13, Jesus comes to Galilee, to Jordan, to be baptized of John. Now, I want you to get the picture. Nobody is following Jesus at this point. He hadn't even started His ministry yet. And it's important that we understand that the servant is not greater than the master, but will walk even as the master walks. And so we're going to get an outline of how Jesus steps into ministry or into His identity, amen, as the Son of God. Now follow this. John tried to deter him. Jesus went to find John. Jesus was focused. He had made a decision. I am going to be baptized today. God in flesh went down in the water and told John, baptize me. And John said, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is humbling Himself, God in flesh, to a human being that hadn't been filled with the Spirit yet, been touched by the Spirit. God in flesh is showing us how to humble ourselves to something that's powerful. And He allows John to baptize him. And Jesus gets wet. Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he was obedient to this baptism. He went up out of the water. All at that moment, precise moment of coming up out of the water, heaven opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now Jesus in his ministry conveys that God thinks that about you as his child. Amen. But prior to Jesus being baptized, that wasn't vocalized. It's when he was obedient and humbled himself and was baptized that heaven opened and a voice from heaven said, I'm pleased. Amen? Is that pretty powerful? Verse 1 of Matthew 4, it continues. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit that come upon him. He was led by that Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Yeah, I'd probably be hungry by then too. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now, keep in mind, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. The Spirit leads him in. The Spirit that came upon him leads him into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, God don't tempt anybody, right? That's the truth. God don't. But God will lead you into places where you will be If you're the Son of God, if you're a child of God, if you're God in flesh, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Having an ear to hear is important, isn't it? You don't want to be in a position to where you can't hear. Is that true? I'm just pausing for effect. So if I need to hear what God's saying, and I really need to hear God speak, anybody with me? Then I need to be obedient rather than just being a good person and sacrificing and doing all kind of good things. That's why you got to say it like that. Because it's time for you to realize the enemy's goal is to wear out the saints of God. He wants you beat up trying to be a good person. Now, you hear me say it in all kinds of different angles throughout your coming here to try to help you get free from the prison that the enemy will bind us, amen, by just because our temptation is to measure everything from good and evil. And so in this passage, we find that we're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and we've got to be able to hear. Now, if I need to hear, I need to position myself to hear. When did the voice of God speak to heaven upon Jesus? When he made a decision to humble himself, submit himself to being baptized, change the way, amen, that humanity, show them how to live a life that's changing the way you think. Repentance. You mean Jesus had to repent? He hadn't done anything that was wrong. He hadn't been a sinner. But yet he's showing us how to repent. And Jesus shows us how to humble ourselves so that heaven would break open upon us and we could hear the voice of God. Well, Pastor, I was baptized in year whatever, month whatever, whatever day that was. Yeah, and the reason you were baptized because you were provoked by the very Spirit of God to do that. And Paul makes a statement to those that started the race. You started well. What did hinder you? Has anybody been hindered before? Having an ear is key. And so Jesus goes into the wilderness, led by the Spirit, to be faced off with three key elements: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Isn't that what the apostle wrote when he says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is all that's in the world? And when you begin to check out the fiery darts of the enemy, you find out that's his purpose, is to manipulate and control us by these elements that's all in the world. The first thing the enemy tempts him with is the lust of the flesh. First thing he does. If you be the Son of God, if you be who you say you are, tell these stones to be turned into bread. And the Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, here's the pride of life, y'all, do not put the Lord your God to the test. My life and your life belongs to God. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. The temptation to be in charge. Anybody ever wanted to be in charge before? And I'm going to believe in Jesus, and I'm going to be in charge too. Amen? You can count on me, Lord. I'm going to make sure I take care of my me time. Pastor, why are you always plundering? Because I know the guy in the mirror. Remember I told you this. Pride of life is real, y'all. It don't stop. It don't stop. There's no such thing as me time. I mean, we heard this about 3 weeks ago. No such thing as me time. Does anybody like me time? That guy in the mirror does. I'm telling you, I know that guy in the mirror. He likes me time. But every time that guy in the mirror convinces me to have me time, the devil loves it. The devil is waiting on every one of us to take me time. Every moment of every second of every day, we're going to worship one of two. We're going to be in a relationship with one or two. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? There's no neutral. Has anybody found neutral before? Tell me about your neutral time. It's trouble time, isn't it? And you're thinking, man, I got to get over, I got to stop this. That guy in the mirror loves me time. But I found out when I spend time with the Lord, I have a lot more peace, a lot more joy, full of hope. And my goodness, the stuff that keeps coming out of heaven to me. Amen. And it's just, I don't get as tired as quick. Is this helping somebody? The spirit of the enemy wants us to be tempted with being in charge of our own lives. And that guy in the mirror just won't let go of wanting me time. So, in order for me to have the guy in the mirror submit, I live a life of, yes, Lord, praying without ceasing. Now, that sounds Christianese, don't it? Praying without ceasing. My God, man, who can be that holy? You. God designed you to have fellowship with him. And so we have to go back and start clearing out bad definitions of what prayer looks like. What's your idea of prayer? Where did you get it from? Where did that definition happen at? Ah. Yeah, we're going to plunder until we get the enemy out of the place where he's been dictating and lording over you having the hope that you really need to find. Y'all, I've been in traffic before, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to pray or am I going to do something else? Have y'all been doing something that equaled good before and circumstances shifted and your feeling wasn't good in the moment? And you had a decision to make at that point. You could, Holy Ghost, I'm just going to hold you over here. I got to go take care of something. And how many wouldn't say it like that, but you acted it out? And you gave what you thought was a piece of your mind, but it was a piece of hell to somebody else. The kingdom of darkness. The pride of life. Lord, I think we need to handle it this way. Anybody ever thought, I think we need to handle it this way. And you thought you was talking to Jesus, but it was the other Jesus. So important today because we need to find hope, don't we? Pride of life. So, again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, lust of the eye, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. I just want you to underline that in your mind. At that point, he dealt with all three elements of what happens in the world. The spirit led him into the wilderness, a type of the world, to be tempted. And when he got through being tempted and he passed the test because all he said was what he heard the spirit say. It says then that the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. We need to catch that. If you need darkness to leave, there's a way to do it. If you need heaven's host to come on the scene, amen, there's a way to do it. It's called obedience is better than sacrifice. And the things we sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, amen, and we give up the miracle that God has in the moment. I thank God he's so patient. You know what I love about the Lord? Big time, he has a vision about me and you, and he won't let go. He has a vision about you and me, and he's all in, and he's so patient, so long-suffering, so temperate, so gentle, so kind. Amen. He keeps letting us test out all these temptations in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life every day. And every day, at the end of the day, we're like, man, there's got to be something better. Amen. Finding hope. Angels are always ready to back us up. Amen. When we choose God over the tempter. There's angels on assignment right now for everybody in this room that's waiting on us to give our ear to the Spirit of God and learn how to repeat what he's saying to us. They're ready to blow your mind and take care of you on levels you haven't been taken care of. Amen. Matthew 4:17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. Now keep in mind, he just came out of the wilderness. He crosses over Jordan. Nobody is following him. Is everybody catching this? Nobody's following him. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and his brother Andrew. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. He said, come, follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people. Now, I don't know about y'all, but logically that's like, okay, really? But they were hungry and thirsty. You see, he just come out of the wilderness. He just came out of being tempted. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. And that same spirit that led him into the world, he come out in power. And he had a message of hope. And he could see who was hungry and who was thirsty. Let me tell you something. When you get hungry and thirsty enough, it really don't matter what he says. Come and follow me and I'll teach you how to fish for men. Yeah, let's do it. When you get hungry enough, you will trust him and you'll hang out with him, because hanging out with him is where your hope is. Doing what the master does is what servants do. They're not greater than the master. They'll walk even as the master. Somebody needs to get that resonated in your spirit. What is Jesus really doing today? What is his heartbeat? What is it like to follow him? Amen. At once they left their nets and they followed him. So, it would be probably important today that we be reminded as often as possible how it is to enter into the kingdom of God, or enter in through the gate, Jesus being that gate. Before Jesus had anybody following him, he was baptized in water. The Spirit came upon him and led him into a wilderness to be tempted by the tempter. And he come out of that wilderness being tempted of the tempter with a clarity of hearing. Did he have hearing before? I believe he did. But he's showing us an example of what it looks like for me and you to come out in power so that we can host the good news message and fish for men. I'm going to give you seven steps, amen, today, quickly, that every follower must make if they're going to follow Jesus. Keep in mind, he's our example. Everybody agree? This is the seven steps. They're very simple. Some of the staff don't believe I can get through them right now, but I'm going to show how quick I can do that. Seven steps for every follower that we must make in order to enter the gate, Jesus Christ. Number one, water baptism. Jesus was his first example. I mean, it's very simple. Number two, be baptized with spirit and with fire. That's what happened to Jesus. When he came up out of the water, the heavens opened immediately and the spirit descended on him. That same spirit led him. Number three, be led by the spirit. Led him into the wilderness, just like we're being led into the world, this present world. And this world is full of temptation, is it not? On every side. Four, listen only to the Spirit. That's the next step. Listen only to the, there's lots of voices out there, but have an ear to hear what the Spirit, the Lord Jesus promised all of us when he spoke to his own disciples. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm sending you a comforter that will remind you of everything I ever said. That when you need it in that moment that you don't know what to do, pay attention. He will help you through thick and thin. He will keep you when you don't know what's going to happen next. He's faithful. Listen to the Spirit. Five, step number five. When you're led by the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit and you only say what the Spirit says, you will carry the good news. Number five, carry the good news. You're going to encourage everybody. You're not in their face. You're very aware of those that have ears that hear, those that are hungry and thirsty. You're encouraging them to turn from their sins and turn back to God. Look, there's people in the path of life that you walk every day that's hurting. They don't know what to do. And while we're still wrestling with the person in the mirror, we could be obedient to God and host the presence of God on the level that when we open our mouth, it's a word of encouragement. I don't have to stay here in this ditch, in this pain, in this. I can actually win. We carry the good news. And when you hear the word repent and believe the gospel, that can be negative sounding from the religious world we're in. But repentance is simply quit thinking the way you think. Change the way you think. Your way of thinking, all it has done is produce bad fruit and heartache and pain and suffering in your life. So if my way of thinking keeps producing this bad fruit and all this pain in my life, changing the way I think might be a good idea. The truth will make us free. And the good news is the truth of God that starts us on the road to victory. Number six. Invite others to follow you as you follow Jesus. You mean, Pastor, start a small group in my house? You mean that the Lord actually wants me to invite people to hang out so we can talk about what he's talking to me about? And next thing you know, they say, he's been saying that to me too. And then we all agree together, this is what the Lord's saying. And we all get the mind of Christ where two or three agree is touching, where two or three gather in my name. I'm in their midst. Amen. When you get Jesus in your midst with two or three, the mind of Christ comes. Anything can happen. All you need two or three witnesses that are agreeing on something, and heaven is right there with their assignment ready to go. But in our culture and our world, you ain't got time to group. Based on our culture, based on our world and the work schedules, and we need X amount of dollars every month to get the bills paid, so we ain't got time to group. You see how the enemy is lying to us? And the Lord promises us, if we'll trust him, he'll make sure there's more food on the table than you can eat, more clothes than you can wear. He didn't lie about that, ladies and gentlemen. He wants you to know he owns all the food and the clothes and the cars and the houses and the bank accounts. He owns it all. He's just wanting to know, are we going to serve him or this culture, this lying spirit in the world? Matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, when we truly get on the Lord's side like we're supposed to be, you'll have more wealth and more money, but you won't care about none of it. You'll be a steward of all of daddy's wealth and all of daddy's money and stuff, and you don't care. All that matters is you found hope. When you get hope on the right level, nothing else compares to it. A dollar bill will never amount to what hope is like. Just won't happen. Finding hope. And then 7, stay hungry and thirsty. Stay hungry and thirsty. Don't stop. Continue to run the race. Don't fall prey to the enemy's lies, as Paul wrote to the church. You started well. What did hinder you? Finding hope. So how do I stay hungry and thirsty? How do I stay in the race? How do I get eat up, amen, with the fire of the King? And we were talking about that at the outset. Vision. Vision produces perseverance. Perseverance solidifies faith that can move mountains. And now you have found hope. Jacob, when he was born, he was second born. He was a twin. His twin was Esau. And when Abraham prayed for them, he switched hands. Isaac wasn't happy about that, but Abraham said, let it be. And the blessing of the birthright was transferred to Jacob instead of Esau, the oldest. I said this humorously. Jacob's mom had a lot of influence in his life. She heard the prophetic prayer that Abraham prayed. And have anybody ever been tempted to try to make what God said happen? This will help us. This will help all of us. God can make what he says happen, happen. He's just asking for our hearts. That's why I gave you 7 steps, amen, to following the example of Jesus Christ, so that we make sure he's got access to his house. But Jacob's mom had influence with him and inspired Jacob to live a life of deception there for a while. True? And he manipulates the birthright from Esau. And he didn't have to go there, but he did. And God worked with it. Isn't that amazing? God worked with us. So, because of manipulation to try to be in charge, Jacob is now running for his life because it wasn't going to be a match between him and Esau. It was going to be over fast. And Jacob runs so fast and so long and so hard, he finally gets tired at the right place called Bethel. And he's confident he got far enough away from Esau that he could get some rest and get up and run some more. And God will meet us in our little running away scheme. God met Jacob at Bethel and gives him a vision. It's so important for y'all to catch this. He was noted as the deceiver. And he saw a vision of angels descending and ascending. And it moved him so much that he said when he got up from that place of vision, this is what done, it got his heart. He said, this is the house of God right here. And he makes a commitment to God. You can count on it from this day forth, Lord. I'm going to make sure you get the first of everything. You're going to be first in everything. That's why we celebrate the Lord like we do. And his commitment came out of vision. You know, you can try to do for Jesus, and you can't do a thing because you ain't got vision to do it. I'm totally relaxed over the fact that some of us won't do it what the Lord's asking us to do until we catch the vision. Then you catch the vision, you got some empowerment now. Not a problem. It's easy to do. But most people can't obey God because they hadn't let God give them vision yet. And Jacob caught the vision, and he was so blessed because of it that his father-in-law said, time out. I mean, he's taking the low road in everything. He's like, okay, I'll take all the spotted animals. And they wouldn't have any spotted animals. And he obeyed the Lord. And when the father-in-law said, okay, you take the spotted ones, I'll get all the perfect ones, all the normal ones. Everything started coming out spotted. Can't explain it. You're not supposed to explain your walk with God. You don't explain how God is God in our lives. We're his children. He's God. And he has something to prove to the world that that's my kids. And they trust me. They obey me more than trying to do something for me. They just obey me. And it works. And he gets two brides. He didn't ask for one. But that was probably... You know, I'm going to spank you for being disobedient, Jacob. We'll give you two wives. All right, I got to back out. A man that finds a wife finds a good thing. But this is what I love about it, y'all. I needed it to get light in here so we could get to the point. The vision brought Jacob back to where he belonged. God had a plan. But he comes to a place called Peniel, and there is where Jacob wrestles with God. And he made his mind up, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Well, what's he about to face? He's facing his greatest fear. Anybody facing your greatest fear? I'm looking in the mirror. I'm getting older every day. I better not fear the fact that one day the Lord will be through and I'll go on. What's your greatest fear? Jacob's greatest fear was, I'm about to die if you don't help me because Esau going to take me out. I ain't got a chance without you, Lord. And the Lord met him there and they had a wrestling match. Like Jacob was going to beat God. God was having fun. Daddies do that with kids. Right? Because all daddies, good daddies, want to bless their children. I had to wrestle with all three of mine. But not like God wrestles with us. And Jacob held on. And that was attractive to God. He just wouldn't let go, Major. He just wouldn't let go. It's a promise. And God touched his hip and changed the way he walked. Anybody ready to walk different? Ready to live different? Ready to have some fun? And Jacob found hope in that wrestling match with God. Now, what do you think that did to Esau? Because Esau hadn't met this Jacob before. The other Jacob, I want to knock him out. But this new Jacob is coming like Jesus is going down in water. God in flesh, humbling himself to a human being, baptizing him. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. It'll open heaven up. You can do all kind of good works all day long and heaven won't open. But if you ever get obedient to the Spirit, Jacob came to Esau humble, bowing with gifts. And it changed the heart of Esau toward him. Whew. Y'all, there's all kinds of stories in the Bible. David, King David, man after God's own heart, right? Everybody agree? But there was a day when David, at a time when kings go out to battle, he decided, I want some me time. And so when kings are supposed to be battling and being obedient to the kingship, he getting some me time. And the prophet came and told David, a traveler came by. A traveler came by. Has anybody ever dealt with a traveler before? Anytime you do me time, the traveler's going to show up every time. You don't want to be apart from your father. You want to be in his presence all the time, because that's where true rest is. That's where the joy of the Lord is. That's where you find hope. And when David decided to get some me time, trouble, drama, adultery, murder. Think about it. It's amazing how drama gets in our life, isn't it? The Lord didn't bring it. Me time brought it. Amen. Finding hope. I close with this. As a 15-year-old boy, I didn't have some hope when my daddy died. And 10th grade, announcement come across the intercom, Dwayne Lowe, come to the office. And my pastor standing out there with a face that said all kinds of stuff. He didn't know how to approach me. And I knew something wasn't right. But at 15, when you're looking forward to the next 4 or 5 decades hanging out with dad, and all of a sudden he's not there, you feel by yourself. You feel broken. You feel like, man, I ain't got no hope. And I had a loud conversation with God by myself. And I guess my grandmother knew it, because she came and found me. I said, son, I just want to encourage you. I know how you can get the hope you're looking for. And in her own way, in the spirit, she started praying, prophesying, doing what a powerful daughter in the spirit will do. Amen. And guess what happened to me? She encouraged me to go down in the water. Seven steps. Change the way you're thinking right now, son, because that hopelessness ain't from heaven. That loneliness is not from heaven. I need you to change the way you think. And let's start off with being obedient to what you can't understand. Go down in the water and be identified with him. And heaven opened when that happened. When I come up out of that water, heaven opened. And the Spirit of God descended on me. And out of my belly flowed rivers of living water. I couldn't explain none of that. But I can tell you what, I knew I had something I didn't have before. And I wasn't going to let it go. And yes, the Spirit led me into the world. And yes, I had to be tempted by the tempter, just like all of us. But you know what? That comfort that came when that heaven opened and came into my life reminded me of what he said, who I am, and just as trust him. You don't have to give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, son. You don't have to. Did I? Yeah, it pulled me in a few times, more time than I want to talk about. But his patience and his perseverance over the vision he had on me and you, He won't quit. And as much as the enemy has told you God's given up on you, I'm telling you right now, that spirit is lying. That there's angels posted right now on your behalf with assignments that's waiting on you to say, yes, Lord. And they're ready to take care of what you've been trying to take care of all the while. You can't do angels' work. Only they can do that. Some of us have been wore out trying to do what angels can only do. And the Lord wants you to know something, your royalty. It's time to hang out with Him. He's in charge. You can trust that. That's the truth. And He's faithful. Could we stand? Who wants to let go and let God today? Who is at the place right now that, you know what? It really don't matter what people think no more. All that matters is what the Lord thinks. And I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to start whatever step you're at. You might be at step one. You may be at step four or five. But I promise you, you will find hope. You will find an anchor. You will find solid ground. He's faithful. And He changes not. You know, this ain't no new gospel. This is the eternal gospel. It never changes. Some of you have to come up against a religious spirit that said, oh, that's not necessary. But I'm telling you, it's very necessary for everyone to follow Jesus as their example. And if He did it, guess what? I'm all in. You can count on it. I'm not deviating. So today, who wants to find some hope? I'm going to pray for you. And you know, Daddy's hearing the heartbeat in this house right now. Woo! And if you're here today and you want me to pray with you and lay hands on you, let me tell you something. There's power in laying on of hands. It works. You just making your way up here, you'll be surprised how many spirits of darkness begin to flee from the torment that you've been having to endure just by you moving forward. Every step is like moving mountains. It works. And so as we turn our hearts to heaven right now and say, Lord, you know where I'm at. I've been a mess up. All I did is drop the ball. Just be honest with Him. He is not bothered by your mistakes and your failures in life. He loves you. He's going to take everything that you see wrong about your life and make a stepping stone out of it for His glory. He trusted you with whatever is tormenting you, whatever's beating you up, because He has a plan for your life that's going to blow your mind. God loves you that much. And He hasn't quit on you. And He saw you when you were making the mistakes after mistakes. And He said, get ready. A miracle is in the making. Because wherever you've been, He can use that to use you to pull other people out of pain, out of hopelessness, out of sorrow, out of guilt, out of shame, out of sin. Amen. He believes in you. The little thing He's asking from us is not heavy, it's not hard, it's easy. He makes it light and easy. Father, thank You for Your presence in this room. Thank You for the Word. Thank You for the seed that's been planted in good soil. Soil that's being cultivated right now from every rock of offense, every thorn, every briar, every care of this life. Thank You, Father, for making the soul ready to receive the kingdom, the presence, the Spirit of God in power and in demonstration and fire. Thank you, Father, for letting them know their value on another level today, that they are special to you, and that you're faithful and you will finish what you started in them. Hell cannot have them. You purchased them. You own them. You gave every drop of blood for them. Thank you, Father. Whew. Right where you're standing, receive the Spirit of God. It's yours. He's after your heart right now. God bless you, guests. If you need, you're welcome to leave. Thank you for being here. I encourage you. The Lord is with you. Hope to see you again. But let's all turn our hearts to heaven and receive from heaven right now. The Lord is good. The Lord is high and lifted up. His train of victory fills the temple, and he's after you right now. God bless you.